Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety Fact Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz of the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. This week's question is, how is OCD different from generalized anxiety? First of all, let's do a quick overview about what obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, actually is, because it's one of those terms that we use in an offhand way, like, ugh, I'm so OCD, I just have to have everything super clean, or wait a second, I have to straighten that crooked picture because I'm super OCD. But that's not actually OCD. OCD is fueled first by obsessive, intrusive thoughts, and we all have these. Every person on the planet has intrusive thoughts. But in OCD, those thoughts get stuck. For example, you likely have had an experience where you're driving when all of a sudden the thought, what if I spun the wheel and drove off the road, shows up in your brain. Those thoughts are unwanted and they show up uninvited. They're often contrary to what we really want, or they're very upsetting, like, what if I got out of bed and when I put my feet down, someone under the bed grabbed me. If we don't have OCD, those thoughts can be annoying or give us a little shiver, kind of surprise us. They may even embarrass us, but they pass quickly. We think, oh, that's weird, and we move on. Or sometimes they show up again, but we don't get stuck in them. We don't like them, but they don't get trapped in our head. But if we have OCD, those thoughts have more power and we give those thoughts meaning. We think, oh my gosh, do I have a death wish? What's wrong with me? Or we think, maybe I had that thought about someone under my bed because it's a premonition. And then we have to do something to address the thought, and that is the compulsion. So the obsession is the intrusive thought that gets stuck, and the compulsion is the thing we have to do to neutralize or address that obsessive thought. Perhaps we have to pull over and take deep breaths until we're sure we're not going to drive off the road. Or maybe we need to check under the bed before we can go to sleep. As you can see, there's a lot of magical thinking present in OCD, where the idea is that we can do things to control outcomes. So we have a thought, what if I left the door unlocked? And then it nags at us until we go check. Again, these things can happen with someone who doesn't have OCD too. If you've ever had to go back and make sure you locked your front door behind you, then you know about compulsions as well. So you have the worry, what if I left the door unlocked? And then it kind of nags at you till you go back and check. The difference with OCD is that we get really trapped in those obsessions, those uninvited, upsetting, intrusive thoughts. And then we also get trapped in the compulsions meant to address those thoughts. Eventually, someone with OCD has to go back and check the door over and over again. Now, as you're thinking about this, about how OCD works, you may recognize signs of it in yourself or your child. But again, I want to reiterate that we all have intrusive thoughts, and we all occasionally get stuck in them a little bit. kids especially go through developmental stages where we would expect some OCD-like behaviors. Preschoolers who are hung up on things being just right don't necessarily have OCD. I think we can all relate to standing over a sobbing child who wants those other shoes, or who needs their socks fixed exactly right so they feel the same on both sides, or who won't wear any shirt but a soft shirt, or can only drink out of a green cup. But that's developmentally appropriate. It's annoying, but it's not necessarily a mental health issue. How do you tell the difference? Well, the picky preschooler will eventually grow out of their demands. These things are preferences versus a need. So a preference that might upend the day, but eventually the child grows to be more flexible. The child with OCD will remain well and truly stuck, and you can expect the rituals to become more elaborate. The child becomes more and more trapped by their obsessions and their compulsions. The child with developmentally appropriate preferences can learn to be flexible as they grow, and with your support, they'll eventually run out of steam and move on. But the child with OCD becomes increasingly upset. They may want to move on, but are unable to. So they really want their shoes to be just right because they want to leave too. And you can see they actually feel trapped by not getting those shoes just right. The other thing is that in OCD, the compulsions may seem more bizarre or disconnected from what's happening. Like in my example of checking a door to see if it's locked, that checking may need to happen in a particular pattern. Check the door by turning the knob twice, step away, turn back, turn it twice again. This is because in OCD, the person is chasing that just right feeling, and it gets harder to reach the longer they stay trapped in the compulsion. Children who have OCD need their parents' assistance in some of their compulsions, and we parents may not realize that we're doing it. This often comes in the form of reassurances, which are also common in general anxiety, but in OCD may show up as a parent needing to do things in a certain order. Like, let's say you need to say goodnight in a very particular way. The child will melt down if you say, "Good night, sleep tight, sweet dreams," instead of "sweet dreams, good night, sleep tight." The child may demand that you do it over and over and over until it's exactly the way they need to hear it. In these cases, the parent probably does not realize the obsessive thought has to do with, what if a robber breaks in? And the child needs the parent to say good night exactly right to neutralize that intrusive thought. The child may not have the language to explain that in their head, a robber is somehow connected in the way their parent says goodnight. Remember, there's a lot of magical thinking in OCD, and things don't always make sense. If the child is younger, they can't even begin to explain it. Other common ways that OCD shows up is washing hands, concerns about contamination. A child may not be able to eat off a particular fork, or they need to rinse already clean dishes. Checking is very common. Checking for homework, or checking that no one's hiding in the closet. Children may need to enact particular rituals, like repeating words to themselves or doing things in a particular order. Children may also need to confess their intrusive thoughts. Those thoughts are upsetting, right? And remember, they're assigning some meaning to them. A child may think about going on a forbidden website and then need to come and tell you that they thought about. Or they may have an intrusive thought about, say, hitting the dog or a sibling, and will need to confess it to you even though they didn't hit the dog or the sibling. Again, we all have intrusive thoughts. We might board the bus and randomly think, "What if I kiss the bus driver?" And then we forget about it almost as soon as we think it. But the child with OCD will get stuck, and they'll worry it means they want to kiss the bus driver. That might make them feel ashamed, and they need to tell you about it. Or they'll need to say hello to the bus driver in a particular way. Or they'll sit down and need to squeeze their eyes shut repeatedly to try to neutralize that upsetting thought. And this is another common way that OCD gets diagnosed. If a child has to blink or sniff or click their tongue or do some other repetitive motion that adults notice. These kinds of tics are not uncommon in childhood, even for children who don't have OCD, but they tend to disappear after a few months. This is super common, especially in younger children, like kids who get that chapped rash around their mouth because they can't stop licking their lips. Parents should consider getting their child evaluated for OCD if those tics continue for more than 6 months or start getting more complex. Like if a child who shrugs their shoulders after every question starts shrugging their shoulders, then blinking and yawning, for example. In the latest version of the DSM, which is the DSM-5, OCD got moved out of anxiety disorders and into its own categorization. This is because the current theory is that OCD in itself isn't fueled by anxiety, but that the obsessive thoughts cause anxiety. Also, it allowed them to move other disorders like hoarding and body-focused repetitive behaviors, which include skin picking or hair pulling, into the OCD category, since this seems to be a more accurate way to case conceptualize. These two are marked by an intrusive thought or feeling of not quite rightness. Hoarding is about a worry of losing something important, and everything might be important, and body-focused repetitive behaviors are driven by an intrusive need to pull hair or skin pick, that feeling that things won't feel right until they do. Treatment for OCD is about helping children to tolerate that uncomfortable feeling brought on by the intrusive thought and preventing them from doing the compulsion. This is called exposure response prevention and is an arm of CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy. Traditional CBT does not work for children with OCD and can make things worse, since traditional OCD may encourage children to do things that might become a compulsion. For example, in traditional CBT, we might teach children to breathe in a certain way in order to calm their body when they're upset. But if the child has OCD, then teaching them to breathe in this way, well, the breathing might itself become a compulsion. Some children with OCD may also benefit from medication to help them calm their anxiety enough to work on the exposure response prevention. Because parents are nearly always part of a child's compulsions, and because parents are such an important support, they have to be part of treatment. In fact, most of the research around anxiety and parent involvement has focused on parents of children with OCD, and it's clear that we parents are central to treatment success. My child anxiety support program addresses the kinds of things that parents can do to support a child with OCD. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ. And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.